So we're going to start this evening out, and I'm going to reference where we left off the last time, but I'm going to reference that once we have the thought, once we have that emotion, that we have a choice. That is what we learned. That is what we are learning. We have a choice to take it further. We have that choice. Because then that emotion, if we don't exercise our choice, is going to turn into thoughts that start rolling around in there. And soon they're not just thoughts. Soon they are behaviors. And then soon they are affecting relationships. They're affecting your relationship with your family members, or maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's someone else in your space. It will affect those relationships. And then it will have consequences. And those consequences are typically not good. They are typically not good. So what we want to grab hold of here is emotions are real and you have them. People will hurt your feelings. People will do something to frustrate you, make you mad. The people that you love the most will do stuff that will create this issue. So those emotions are real. We're not saying don't have those emotions, but that is the place that you want to then choose. I have a choice. She says it over and over and over again. I have a choice of what comes next. And you do. You choose to take that thought captive and not let it roll around in there anymore, but bringing in the word of God, the truth, bringing that in. And then the behavior that happens is usually a very good behavior. And your relationships are not affected in a negative way. And the consequences of that are people step in to a closer relationship. So that is definitely what we want. That's definitely what we want to go do. As we practice this art of interruption, I like that actually. It makes it sound so fun. It's the art of interruption. What you have to do is you have to stop the flow, those thoughts that are rolling around in there, and you're going to have to interrupt them, and you're going to have to say to yourself, wait a second. That has taken one too many loops already, and I need to choose. I choose not for it to do that anymore. And with each one of those interruptions, you will find yourself growing more and more into the mind of Christ, which is obviously what we want to be doing. You see, once we start spiraling, if we are spiraling in noise or distractedness, we have a choice to shift our minds back to God through stillness. If it's noise and distracted stuff, you have a choice right then to shift back to God through stillness. I'm a very task-oriented person, and unfortunately for me, if I get busy doing something, all I did this morning was go out to the kitchen to grab my iced tea, and go back and sit with the Lord and work on the things that I needed to work on for this evening, right? Well, I did grab my tea. And then there was that little thing over there on the counter. And then there was this, and then there was that, and then there was this. And I just stopped. And I said, no, this will be never ending. I'm always going to find one more thing to do before I get back to that quiet place. So if you are being distracted from that time of sitting with the Lord, then you know what to do about it. You have to just go right back to it. Now, ultimately, I would like to have chose that from the very beginning, but fact of the matter is I did not. So that's how it's going to happen. But you see, the more that you practice that art of interruption, the more that you do that, the better, and the more automatic it becomes, the more automatic it becomes. I think I shared the last time, I'm leading two groups now, and I'm never ever really sure if I have shared the same things exactly. Funny thing about that, they involve different ladies, and so therefore God sometimes takes it a little different place. But I think that I did, and I'm going to repeat this illustration. I so desired at one point to play the piano, wanted to play the piano. But as a young girl, I didn't like to practice. And I didn't like to do the things. I didn't like to do that. And so pretty soon, as things started getting hard, as they started getting harder and harder, well, I started begging my mom and saying, you know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, and I don't really want to do this anymore. Well, in the beginning, she did not cave in, but you see, soon she did, because I just kept at her, and I just kept at her. And soon she did. Now, all of my desire, okay, for wanting to play the piano, I don't want to put in the hard work, okay? You can desire to be taking these thoughts captive. You can desire that all you want. And yet, if you don't put in the hard work, the practice, if you don't actually start practicing it, this is all moot point. You know what this is? This is another amazing study, and it just turns into another thing that you didn't follow through or change one thing. It was really good for that period of time. When we were in school, we had concepts that we were learning, but once that concept was done, it was real easy just to shelf that and just to not pay any more attention to that. And that is not what we want to do with this material. That's not what we want to do with this book. I want you highlighting this book. I want you going back over it. And I certainly do want you practicing this principle. It will literally, literally change the way you do things. We already know that the science proves you can change those neural pathways. And not just the science, the Bible. The Bible tells us again and again and again, God does not desire for you to walk in captivity or bondage to your thoughts, where your thoughts are what run you around instead of the other way around. He wishes to be up front and foremost. It is Him that we are to be serving, and we can live such better lives this way, such better lives. If we would happen to be spiraling in isolation, we have a choice to shift our minds back to God through community. This is where you, the community, the body of Christ, people that you can sit down, have a cup of coffee with, talk about the things of God. That's what you do. You don't just retreat in that isolation. No man is an island. No man is an island. It does not work well, because you really get subject to those thoughts. Those thoughts, they certainly start going around and around and around. If you are spiraling in anxiety, you have a choice to shift your mind back to God through trust in His sovereign and good purposes for you. though the thing you may, the thing that is worrying you, the thing that you are anxious about, it may not be a good thing. It may be a thing and it has got you all tangled up. But this one thing you know and love the Lord your God, and he will take whatever it is and he will work it for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So that's how we keep from spiraling in anxiety. We choose to shift our minds back to God and trust him for what he's going to do. It's often not going to look the way that we think it is, or that it even should look. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. If we're spiraling in cynicism, we have a choice to shift our minds back to God through worship. Cynicism is that attitude that it's just such a negative attitude about everything. And we're so often around people that just pour into that, and everything they do is negative. Everything, their outlook on anything. If it is a beautiful day, they will find something wrong with that. Shift your mind back to God through worship. It will pull you out of it. It will pull you out of it quickly. If you're spiraling in self-importance, if you think you're a little irreplaceable, or you think that you're the only one that can do this job, or you just think any number of things that are actually not good, we have a choice to shift our minds back to God through humility. Through humility. When we are spiraling in victimhood, we have a choice to shift our minds back to God through gratitude. Through gratitude, instead of focusing on how you are a victim, instead of focusing on that, you're going to focus on all the things that you are grateful for. I currently have a little devotional that I read in the evenings before I go to bed. So it's like the last thing I do before I go to bed. And in there, it said last night, it said, reflect on all the ways that God came through for you today. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Pretty quick, I just sat there and I thought, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Yes, you totally came through for me there. Oh, and there, and there, and there. What a good way to go to bed. The last thoughts on your mind, you are thanking your Jesus for the day that, and for all of the ways that he came through for you, because I'll guarantee you he did. And you might have let one or two things overshadow that, and therefore you did not see the other six ways that he did come through for you. Six trumps one or two, for sure. So look for those things. Gratitude, gratitude. And if you are spiraling in complacency, you have a choice to shift your mind back to God in serving him. Get out of the doldrums. Get out of that complacent place where, whatever, it'll be what it'll be, and start serving him. Start serving others. Think of someone that isn't you at the moment. A good, good way. And here's the most important thing. Those thoughts, once they get interrupted, once you interrupt them by doing this sort of thing that I just was speaking of, when you get those thoughts interrupted, they simply lose their power. They simply lose their power. When I started recounting all the things, the ways that God came through for me yesterday, you know what? Those one or two thoughts, they were out the door. They lost their power. They did not gain a groundhold. They did not, or a foothold rather. Now, we have other thoughts that are going to require daily capturing and redirecting, and sometimes hourly, depending upon how ingrained they are. But those deadly thoughts can be captured. They can be contained. They can be interrupted. And you can be set free from the steepest of spirals. You can learn to mind your mind. You know, it was a saying way back in the day, mind your mother, mind your father. Well, you know what we have to learn to do? Mind our minds. We have to make them mind, just like that child that does not want to mind. We have to make our mind, you know what, our mind, it wants to go to the ruts. It wants to go to the ruts that we've created. It's been going there for a long time, so it's going to just naturally want to go there. It is going to naturally want to go there because that's a groove. That's a groove that you've made. That's a neural pathway that you've made. And you're going to have to interrupt it, and get it back to the throne of God and get it and do it differently. He gave, our Heavenly Father gave everything for us to be free, everything, so that we could choose this way out. He built this way out with the love and the blood of his son Jesus. That came at a high price for him. But that is how much he loves you and I, and he wants us free. The battle for our minds is won as we will focus on Jesus every moment, every hour, every day. If we will focus on him, we have to grab hold of this. That when we have emotions, when we have certain emotions, like a certain response, a certain emotion to things, it is connected to life-sucking lies that have been put into your space by others. These would be things that were said, negative things that were said. Someone, you know, it could have been a parent. It could have been they say these things. And so it begins. Right now, I want you to picture yourself. I want you to know that you have a backpack on your back. You have a backpack. All right. And when a lie got spoken over you or spoken to you, or even if it's just something you have believed, maybe because of our insecurities, maybe because of a number of different things, but it's just something that you believe to be true of you, it put a rock in the backpack. It put a rock, just one little, you know, like a gravel rock, you know, just a pebble. That's all, you know, it just put that in there. But you see, then another lie comes, and then another, and that backpack starts getting filled up. Start small. That one little lie, it's not really affecting much. But once there begin to be others in the backpack, that's beginning to be too heavy a weight for you to carry around. One lie leads to the next lie. We have to get rid of those. And we're going to get rid of them. We're going to get rid of them the same way that they came in. Okay. We're going to speak here in a moment of how we are that new creation. Okay. We are that new creation. Okay. So sometimes, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." So if we're these brand new creations, why do we still struggle with sin? And why do we still struggle with messy lives? Well, there is the answer lies in two words, the justification and the sanctification process. Okay, the moment that you came into your salvation experience, that moment, okay, that happened in an instant. That happened in an instant. And you want to know what those backpacks all full of all those rocks that you had been carrying around? Well, God overturned the backpack, dumped it all out. You were forgiven. You were walking. I don't know how many of you can remember it, because I don't know how old you were when that experience happened for you. But I can tell you there was a freedom. There was an absolute amazing freedom. You felt different. You felt different. You felt new. You felt new. And that's because everything in that backpack went. Everything in the backpack went. It was awesome. Best feeling in the whole wide world. Like, bring that on, okay? Except this. Then it feels good. It feels good. We're attacking awesome things that we wouldn't have even stepped out there and done. And we're doing all of those things. But as a period of time goes by, that backpack, we're starting to fill it back up. We're starting to fill it back up. So your salvation experience is called justification. You are justified by God, and he now doesn't see your sin. He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. Whoa, that is amazing. That is amazing. And he gives us spirits now that long to love him, to pray, to worship, to glorify his name. That's what he does. He quickens the Holy Spirit in us, and we have that in there. That is that new creation. We are that new creation. And how amazing is that? But even though we are made new in Christ, we still live in this human body. We're still subject to its human desires. And that is where the sanctification process starts. That's where your journey starts, actually, okay? And sanctification is to set apart, and it means that God is working in us through the power of his Holy Spirit, and it is a lifelong process that the Spirit is going to use to shape you, mold you, and make you look more like Jesus with each passing day. It's a process. We don't arrive. Well, we do, but not this side of heaven. As long as we're breathing this air down here, we are in that process, becoming more like him every day, more having more the mind of Christ. Okay. A strategic part of this sanctification process is learning to capture your thoughts for Christ. It is learning to capture them. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and I'm actually going to read it. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. 2 Corinthians, I got to make sure I'm in the right one. 10:5. Okay, yep. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture the rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. That's part of your sanctification process. That is what you're going to do. That is what we are going to do. So what we have to learn to do is not keep filling up the backpack. We have to reverse it, because we've got pretty full backpacks again. And this time, God is not going to swoop in and dump the backpack out. He's not going to do that. He did that in the beginning, okay? He isn't going to do that. These are things you've put in there since having known him, okay? And I call it doing life. All right. So those thoughts, those things are in the backpack again. And so what we are going to do, we are going to wage war, and we are going to get those things removed. That is what we are going to do. We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons. We do not use worldly weapons to knock down those strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy those false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And we capture, this is the capture part, we capture those rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. Excuse me. Okay, so if we go also, we're going to talk about putting on the armor of God, and we find that in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, 11 through 18, and you have read it, and you probably even do it, putting on that armor in the morning before you face whatever else you'll be facing during the day. I'm going to read it actually in the Passion Translation, and this is how it says it. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you are protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat, again, is not with human beings, but it is with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. And because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you are protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things, and you will rise victorious. You put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. You put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. You stand on your feet alert, and then you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as that wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows that are coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet, listen close, to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers, upon all his believers. So Paul, any of the New Testament writers, and Paul, no exception to that, these people were not living in wartime. And yet the New Testament, again and again and again, it's saying, armor up, fight, do this. And it is all referring to your mind, the battle that will take place. The last thing in the world the enemy wants is for you to have the mind of Christ. He does not want you to have the mind of Christ. Does not. And so he does not want you waging this war. He does not. Paul understood two spiritual truths. First, he knew who his real enemy was. And he knew it was not people. Okay, we are not, in Ephesians 6:12, what I just read, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities, spirits of the unseen world. You see, you could have someone in your life causing you some stress right now. And if you can put this picture in your mind, they are not the enemy. Know who your real enemy is. Know who your real enemy is, and that would be Satan. And that will help you to view that person differently. They are not the enemy. But the devil is. And he is happy for you to take up arms and go at this person as though they are. That's not what you want to do. That is absolutely not what you want to do. So I like the way, in studying this out, I like the way this particular commentary, I like the way it describes this, okay? Because what you have to do on a daily basis in your thoughts, in your world, in with your words, all of it, okay, you have to choose Christ over culture. You have to choose Christ over culture. Get ready, okay? The Corinthian church may have existed a long time ago, but the very issues that Paul addressed, we have them going on, and we must be mindful of them today. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and on his word. For if we lose that focus, wow, we will forget that we are in this world, but we are not of it. And when we forget that, we begin engaging in battles that God never meant for us to fight, because you're fighting people. And he never meant for you to do that. Never, ever, ever. Relying on God's weapons requires faith in God, not man. Man can't fix you. Man can't fix this. Man can't change this. And we are a human. We can't change it. We can't fix it. And the quicker we come to that, the better off we're all going to be. Okay. So the Corinthian Christians, let me say that. The Corinthian Christians, okay, these were not people that did not call themselves Christians. They were Christians, okay? But listen, they tended to rely on and admire carnal weapons, flesh weapons, we call that. They admired those for the battle, for the Christian battle. They did this. Instead of the belt of truth, they fought with manipulation. Ever been manipulated by a well-meaning Christian? Been there, done that. Does not feel good, does it? But they're going after what they want, and you are going to get manipulated in the process. Okay. Instead of the breastplate of righteousness, they fought with the image of success. If I can just be more successful, I'll just be more successful. Not be more right before God, not follow his path to holiness, righteousness, not that, okay? If I'm more successful, I have more of a voice, I have more of an influence. These are the weapons that they fought with. Instead of the shoes of the gospel of peace, they fought with smooth words, flattery words they flatter you, but they are empty, and they are carrying that thing that, that sword that's just going to poke you, that knife that's going to poke you in the back. You've heard them. You've heard that kind of thing. Instead of the shield of faith, they fought. Instead of having that shield of faith to protect them and to guard them and to take them into this, okay, instead of that, they fought with the perception of power, okay? Remember, we have talked about control really at some length. We have talked about control. And it is an illusion when you think you're in control. But wow, do we give the perception that we are? And wow, do we sometimes think we are? We actually do think we are sometimes. We're not in control. We are not in control. I'm thinking of the verse right now. A man plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. How much control do you have over that? A man plans his way. Good luck with that, okay? But the Lord determines his step. Instead of the helmet of salvation, they fought with lording it over, their authority position, lording it over you, making you feel less than you were in Christ. And instead of the sword of the Spirit, they fought with human schemes and programs. Another program will just fix it. And always scheming, always trying to come in the back door to something, always trying to do that to make up for what? If we can just get another program going, then that will fix the fact that, I just took a few people off at the knees with my unkind words and the way that I treated them. But if I serve over here, or if I do this, then that just goes away. That's how I'm gonna make up for it. Instead of going and confessing it and saying, I am so sorry for the way that you were treated in this process. I'm so sorry for the way I treated you. No, 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 no. Human scheming, human scheming. So do you see how important it is to be going with the real armor that I read you, the real armor, the armor of God, the armor of God. Such lies that the enemy gets us thinking on, going on. And he wants us fixating on those things. He wants us fixating on those things, not fighting with God's armor, not getting that mind of Christ, not getting that. Okay. So last time I left you with some homework, right? And that homework proved to be a little different than I thought. I thought that I would just sit down and I would just be able to come up with the word, and then I'd just be able to trace it all back, you know, like she did in that, you know, like she did in the illustration. And I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be so good. And actually, it didn't happen like that at all. And I couldn't think of one, and I was trying awfully hard to think of one, and it was frustrating me, not helping me. And I thought, well, that may have been different for you. Maybe you did just fine with that, but I did not do so fine with that. And I realized it's because of the backpack of rocks, the gravel rocks. I realized that most of us, some of us do have a big heavy sitting there that we probably do need to trace back and find its origin. But I dare say that most of us probably really just have some gravel rocks. We just have some gravel rocks. And you see, here's the thing. So like you can't even, like, you don't even notice that they're a gravel rock. They're small, they're insignificant. And until you put a bunch of them in there, and then they become very, very significant. So whether or not you had a big thing, whether or not you were able to do it, or whether you just have a lot of little things that you couldn't necessarily connect the dots on, the most important takeaway is for you to, number one, grab the thought. This is the example I'm going to use is, it's a people-pleasing person. It's a person needing the approval of God. We're going to use that for an example. Okay, so what do? You grab the thought, okay? Her thought was, I feel the need to prove my worth to others. I feel the need to prove my worth to others. So the second thing that you do, and it is this, you diagnose the thought. Is that true? So you ask yourself, do I need to prove my worth to others? Well, do you? No, no, you do not. We live for Jesus. He is our audience of one, and he already approves of you. He already approves of you. Okay, so counter when once you see that it is a lie, that that thought is a lie, diagnose the thought. Is it true? If it's not true, then you find the truth of God's word. You find a scripture that tells you what the truth is. The next thing you do is you take it to God. What does he say? What does he say about it? Well, that's just exactly what I'm talking about right now. In 1 John 3:1, it says, I am a deeply loved child of God. And if someone disagrees with that or makes me feel like I need to prove my worth, then they don't understand. They don't understand who they are in Christ. They don't understand who they are in Christ. And then the last thing that you do is you make a choice. Are you going to believe the lie? Are you going to believe you if it's rolling around in there? Or are you going to believe God? Well, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God. So if you just, no matter what the thought is, before it turns into another rock in your backpack, remember, we're trying to eliminate the rocks in the backpack. We're trying to remove them. We're trying to get them out of there. And this is the how-to of that. Grab the thought. This is what I used for my rule of thumb. This last couple of weeks, as I have been trying to do this, the thing that I used for a rule of thumb is, if the thought came around more than a couple of times, it's one that I needed to walk through these steps on. And that if it was just a random piece of insignificant information, well, that's not something that you have to diagnose. That's not a rock in your backpack. Don't worry. Those kind aren't sitting there. The kind that are sitting there are the kind that they may have originated with a lie, something someone said to you, something you said about you, your own self, whatever that is, but that's how they got in the backpack in the first place. Those, you want to grab them. You want to diagnose the thought and find out if it's true. You want to take it to God, see what he says about it, and then you make a choice. And then you make a choice. Am I going to believe the thought that's had me captive all this time, or am I going to believe God? And those gravel rocks will be short-lived. If you literally will be unpacking the backpack. Kind of exciting, actually. Kind of exciting about that. Kind of exciting. Jenny Allen was had someone share with me this morning a podcast that they were listening to, and Jenny Allen was a featured speaker on there. And it was a, there were the hosts, of course, and this is a quote from that was shared with me and came to me right in the middle of doing all of this study. And I am thankful for that gal's obedience to go ahead and share that with me. The timing of it was like God going, ding, ding, ding. Hello, here you go. And I want to share it with you because it says it so very well and is definitely something worth writing down and keeping handy. The only power that the enemy has over us are the lies we choose to believe. The only power that the enemy has over us are the lies we choose to believe. Those lies, those rocks, didn't make it into the backpack unless you believed them. People can't throw rocks into your backpack. You put the rocks in your backpack. Those are lies you have chosen to believe. And that is the only power that the enemy has over you. Do you think for 1 minute that he wants you unloading that backpack? No, he most certainly does not. He does not. He has worked very hard for you to fill that backpack up. And he certainly doesn't want you to realize that you have the power. You have the power in Christ Jesus. You have the power. All right. Ephesians, this is also the armor of God. And this is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And this time I'm reading it out of the Message. And this is how it reads. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we will walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. This is a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You are up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon that God has issued you, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you will still be standing on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You will need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and pray long. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. And I want to read in Isaiah 26, 3, and this is in the NLT, and it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And in Proverbs 4, 25 and 26 in the NIV, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you and give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways." That one's Proverbs 4, 25 and 26. And it's the NIV. And then I'm going to read, this started me on this at the very beginning of last week, actually. Pastor Jim shared this verse and I went, wow, there we go. Hebrews 3:1, it's in the NIV, and it says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix in that context is to fasten, to anchor down. In our house, we have roll out windows. Like they are a crank, and I crank them in, okay? And very often, to my husband's chagrin, I just crank them in, and that's all I do. And there's two little fasteners, two little things that I am also supposed to put down, put in place. And sometimes I do that and sometimes I don't. When I don't, I get a lecture because you see, the thing is, I am, whether I may think it's closed, I may think it's closed, but you see, it isn't really closed. Not until it's fastened down. It's not really closed. And I get that now. I mean, I do absolutely get the principle of that, because wind can still get in there and it could still rip that window off its hinges. Some of the winds we have around here, that's for sure. And at any rate, it is letting dust particles in. It is all kinds of stuff because of a simple procedure of not fastening. Those thoughts, those fixing your thoughts on Jesus, fastening, anchoring them on him, okay, is going to keep out any unwanted thoughts, those things, those gravel rocks that are weighing you down. Ladies, it is so time to unload the backpack and get those thoughts captured. Take those thoughts captive. Remembering that we want the mind of Christ. It's ours. It's ours. We're who has to let that happen. We have to do the work. We don't just get to want this process to happen. We actually have to put some time into this. So your homework this week, for the next two, is practicing interrupting those thoughts. Okay? And practicing and jotting it maybe on a piece of not necessarily the thought that you had, that's less important than the fact that you interrupted it. The fact that you stopped it, you said, no, I have a choice to think this, and I choose not to think this. I choose to look at what God says about this. I choose for this not to, this is not going any further. I'm not gonna run this around in there anymore. So just keep track in the course of a day at how many times that you did that. It's going to be taking those, doing the one thing that you can do about it, and how amazing is that going to be to begin to practice and apply this and get these things turned back. I am going to, it's a Cherokee legend, actually. And a Cherokee elder was teaching his young grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger. He is envy. He is sorrow. He is regret. He is greed. He is arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority. He's lies. He's false pride. He's superiority. He is self-doubt. And he is ego. The other wolf is good. He is joy. He is peace. He is love. He is hope. He is serenity. He is humility. He is kindness. He is benevolence. He is empathy, generosity, truth, compassion and faith. You see, the same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The boy thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win, grandfather?" And the grandfather simply replied, "The one that you feed. The one that you feed. You are who, what are you going to feed this mind with?" You see, you're going to practice interrupting your thoughts, but that thought will come back unless what you do, and we kind of get to this, we kind of get further with this, but unless you put in there the things of God, unless you put the truth of his word in, unless you think on the things that are good and excellent and pure, replacement, the law of replacement, you can't interrupt or take something out unless you replace it with something else. So that's how you're going to eliminate the rocks. That's how you're going to get them out of, that's how you're going to get them out of your backpack. As we close tonight, I am going to close by praying the armor, by praying the armor. Heavenly Father, I will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Today, I will put on the full armor of God so that I can take a stand against the devil's schemes. My struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, I will put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and that is today, I will be able to stand my ground. Father God, I put on your helmet of salvation. I am saved by your grace, and my mind is covered, protected, and healed by the blood of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Your truth is a firewall that surrounds me. I have the ability to choose Christ over culture. Father God, gird me with the belt of truth. I believe your word is the absolute truth, and I choose to build my life on it. No matter what comes my way today, your truth will help me to stand strong. Centered on the rock, I can resist all the accusations of the enemy. Father God, cover and protect my heart with the breastplate of righteousness. By your grace alone, I am forgiven and restored to right relationship with you. The enemy has no say in this and can never condemn my heart for what you have already forgiven. Father God, I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Everywhere I go today, I choose to be your instrument of peace. I will be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks me to give the reason for the hope that I have in Christ. And Father God, I hold up the shield of faith. I will not fear when lies or accusations come my way today. I will not address them in my strength. I will instead let those lies collide with your truth head on. You alone are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And finally, I take up the sword of the Spirit. Your word is active and powerful for the tearing down of all the lies of the enemy. Help me live yielded to your word so that I can boldly and effectively wield your word. Today, I choose to speak truth and life over myself, my circumstances, and other people. This is how I choose to fight my battles today, and I will remain at rest in you, Lord.